Hi, my name is Eva Fernandez. Wanted to welcome you to my new podcast, Career Hacks, Tips, Tricks, and Triumphs. This is a podcast for my company, Compassionate Consulting. I'm super excited that you're here. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I hope you get something from it, and I hope you pass it along to somebody else who might need some career advice. Lastly, just wanted to mention, I do record the podcast inside and outside the studio. So sometimes it might sound noisy and you'll hear the hustle and bustle of the city, and sometimes it might be really, really super quiet. But it's the way I like to record podcasts, because I like to record them when I am ready to share some information for you. So that doesn't always necessarily occur in the office or in the studio. So I hope you enjoy the show and stay tuned.
This podcast is sponsored by
Venus Springs, Advocacy for Community Enrichment, LLC. We are a private practice that offers counseling and life coaching services for adults, teens, and kids. We also provide group counseling workshops and classes. To learn more about us, visit us at venusprings.org.
Welcome to Career Hacks, Tips, Tricks, and Triumphs. My name is Eva Fernandez, and I wanted to welcome you to episode number 7, The Man with the Skull Tattoo. Hope you enjoy. So the other day, I had to go to the post office to pick up a package for my son. And right when I got there, the line was huge. There were probably close to 15 people in line. And I stood behind this man who was, you know, very close to my height, and I noticed something immediate about him, which was kind of unusual. He was bald, and he had a tattoo of a skull on the back of his head. So initially when I saw it, it kind of freaked me out, and I thought, oh my God, it feels like the skull is like looking at me, it's just facing me, right? And then I started thinking a little bit about who this man could be, and I started thinking a little bit about, like, wow, I would love to talk about this on my podcast. So I started really kind of looking for some identifying information on him, because I figured I need to do something while I'm standing in line waiting for this package, right? So I look at him and I immediately notice that the t-shirt that he's wearing is a company t-shirt. So it's a local company, and I started thinking, wow, I wonder what kind of employer this is. Like, I wonder if this employer is, you know, kind of lax, because I would think they might be kind of lax. That's my first impression, right? Because we know that the average person takes a look at somebody, and within 7 seconds, we already have a judgment on them, right? We already feel like we know who they are. We can already sum them up. You know, they seem like a nice person. They seem scary. They seem kind. They seem smart. They seem rich, whatever, right? So my initial impression of him was, it freaked me out, so I guess I was a little scared. Or maybe not scared, maybe more weirded out by the tattoo. So I kept looking at the tattoo, and I started thinking about what kind of person this is, right? So I never actually saw his face. I saw a bit of his profile when he turned, but I never saw him. So it made me just kind of come up within my head who this person is. So in my head, I'm thinking, this must be like a rough around the edges guy. He looks like a strong guy. He probably does some, you know, weightlifting or something. And I started thinking about all these things. But then I started thinking, wow, that's my first impression. And that's the impression I had of him within those first 7 seconds. Doesn't mean that's true at all, right? So I started thinking, well, maybe it's just a facade. Maybe he's a really kind, sweet man. And maybe the tattoo of the skull has a certain significance. Maybe it's something very personal to him. Maybe he just likes skulls and he likes tattoos. And maybe it's not something to intimidate others or scare people or anything like that. And then I thought, I wonder if this man has ever felt any kind of discrimination, or he's ever felt that he didn't get a job based on his tattoo. But I also thought, I wonder if the employer makes him wear like a baseball cap or something like that. But I kind of had an idea about the work that he does, and it's kind of maintenance stuff for a company. So he may not have to. But it just made me start thinking that this might be a topic to talk a little bit about on the podcast, because it is something that is significant. The way in which you present yourself and the way in which people sum you up in 7 seconds is something that we kind of feel like we can try our best to look nice and dress nice and smile and get people eye contact and all those things. But the reality is even if you do those things, people are going to have judgment. They're going to pass judgment on you. They're not necessarily going to vocalize this, right? But we all do it. And I know, at least me, I've been wrong so many times. Whereas I thought somebody was the most wonderful person on earth, or the most intelligent person, or whatever. And then I come to find that it's the exact opposite. That was a way in which they were presenting themselves. So I know that it's not always true about your first impressions, right? So anyway, I started thinking about a conversation that I had a few years ago with a colleague of mine. So we had this young girl. She was a young woman. She was probably in her maybe mid-20s. And she was very, very well spoken. She dressed very, very nice. She looked like she was coming out of like a magazine. You know, her outfits were very well put together. It just, everything was, you know, her hair, the way she spoke, the way she acted, everything just looked very, very nice. And she wore these pretty sweaters and, you know, these nice shoes and just all of these things. And so a couple of weeks into her new job, things started to change. So whereas we had this first impression of this person as being very well dressed, very articulate, very I guess very in tuned with everything that was going on in the company culture, it seemed, at least that was the impression. And then a couple of weeks went by and San Antonio heat started coming out. And it was really hot. And she comes to work and she takes her sweater off and she's wearing this sleeveless blouse. And she had tattoos up and down her arms. And when she would wear skirts, she would always wear like these really dark navy and black colors, so you couldn't tell anything. And when she wore a skirt this time, you could see the tattoos up and down her legs. So it freaked people out. She still had the same makeup on. She still behaved in the same manner. Everything about her was the same, except we discovered that she had an enormous amount of tattoos. Now, there is nothing wrong with tattoos. People have them. People have tons of tattoos. But all of a sudden, the impression changed. And people started saying negative things about her. So people started saying, no, I don't want her representing the company. I don't want her going out and doing this work. It doesn't look right. You know, what if the children see her? What if the parents see her? And it started to become a problem. So they took her into the office and they talked to her and they said, listen, we need you to go back to wearing the sweaters because we've received some complaints and it's just it's just a little too much. So her response was, and I can tell you this because this is after the fact, she told me what happened, and she told me her response was, there is nothing in our employee handbook specifically addressing tattoos in the workplace. Therefore, she said, unless there's a change, I'm not going to cover up. So it kind of posed an interesting dilemma. Here, this organization that I'd worked at for years had never had an issue with, you know, tattoos or piercings or anything like that. I mean, people obviously had tattoos, but nothing that significant in size, I guess, to make somebody complain or colleagues uncomfortable or things like that. So in the end, it was quite sad. She ended up deciding to leave the company because they told her, again, you have to cover up. She said, no, it's just too hot. And she didn't want to do the sleeves or put the makeup on or anything like that. And, you know, she left. And so it kind of really made me think a lot about being proactive. If you're in that role of human resources or as a supervisor, being proactive, if you have a set of rules, really think about it and make sure that when you do hire people, that it's very, very clear cut. Also, as far as her, it made me think, should that have been something she brought up in her interview? Or is that something she should have brought up when she first got hired and was filling out her paperwork? Now, I'm thinking she probably would not have wanted to bring that up during her interview or her first week of work for fear of, you know, I'm not going to say retaliation, but for fear that maybe they would say, oh, no, I'm sorry, you're not the right person for the job or something like that. And so I really felt bad about that. And it really made me think a lot about, what are we doing? What are we doing as a culture? Because we're moving to a society where people are wanting to express themselves and wanting to not necessarily be like everybody else. Now, me myself, I'm not opposed to tattoos at all. I've seen some beautiful watercolor tattoos that I think are awesome. But I'm kind of a scaredy cat, and I think a needle would scare the crap out of me. So I'm more of a bumper sticker person. I'm more of a statement person. And so that's how people know who I am and kind of my beliefs and things like that. But I think it gets real sticky when it comes to something like, maybe it's for religious reasons, or maybe it's for something significant. I know people who have lost a child, had a miscarriage, and there's a certain tattoo for that. You know, so it there's a significance to it. However, does an employer care? Really? I mean, or is it out of their hands? Is it more about what the public perception is? What the public is willing to accept? What about what the company culture is or the industry? You know, a lot of my background's in higher ed, and there's lots of professors and staff who have tattoos. But if you think about it, you know, in higher ed, it's a little bit more of a liberal atmosphere. So it's not as looked down upon, I think. But however, when I worked with students who were going to school and getting their degrees so that way they could work in the medical industry, that became a huge factor. I had students who were very, very bright, very articulate, had incredible GPAs, incredible amount of experience, and who, like, I had one student who went in, had an interview. The lady pretty much told her she was going to hire her. But when she went out to shake the employer's hand, she forgot to cover up the tattoo on her wrist. And the employer said, "Are you going to be able to cover that up? Because we can't hire you if the tattoo's showing on your wrist." And she said, "Of course, absolutely." But they ended up contacting her and say they decided to go another way. So, you know, you can say that it could have been caused by the tattoo, or maybe, you know, they had a better candidate. But either way, especially in the healthcare industry, in certain industries, if you're living in San Antonio and you have tattoos, I always would recommend to my students to really think before you get a tattoo. Like, think before you ink, right? Like, look at getting them very strategically placed. So if you do need to cover them up, it's not a big deal. But if you are kind of like me, like I tend to be very hot-blooded, I never could work in a healthcare industry, like wearing scrubs all day and then sleeves as well. I think I would be too hot wearing that. So, but that's what you're looking at. So their employers will say, it's fine, you can have these tattoos, but they can't be exposed. So those are some things that I want you to think about, you and your clients, and especially if you're looking at working at a particular company, do your research, find out about that company, because it really might not be a big deal, but then again, you just never know. I know one of my sisters worked for a really well-known grocery company here in San Antonio back when she was like 16, and I remember how strict they were, and it used to, you know, men couldn't show any facial hair, no piercings for the men, obviously no tattoos, he had to be very well kempt, your shirt had to be tucked, you know, all kinds of things. But now I go to that store and it's totally different. You know, my cashier had like purple hair, which I thought was cool because I love purple, but she had tattoos on her arms and she had piercings on, you know, her eyebrow and her cheeks. And it, you know, it made me think like, wow, they've really become maybe a little bit more lax. Maybe they're changing with the times, or maybe it has to do with not being able to find candidates who are willing to work at that pay and accept these rules. I don't know. You know, you kind of think about all these different things, that all these possibilities, whether you're getting all these piercings and whether you're getting all of these changing your hair color a lot. It's up to you. But my job is to try to help you so that way, again, you get the job of your dreams, you succeed in life, you succeed in your career, and that something that you really, really want is not passed over simply because you have something that somebody made a judgment on, right? Because it's really, really hard to undo a first impression. It's very hard to change a person's initial, you know, reaction to you, right? So we want to try our best to reflect the personality and behave in a manner that is who we are. And again, we don't do that all the time. I don't do that all the time, but then I'm not looking for a job right now, right? But I do have to deal with clients. So it could be that, you know, what if I am driving to meet a client and they happen to park right next to me and we're both walking into the office at the same time and they look at my bumper stickers on the back of my car? Maybe they don't like the theme of the bumper stickers, you know? That's an impression as well. Maybe they think they're too political, or they think that they're not too political, or whatever. But my point is saying is that we really judge people. And again, sometimes we judge people unfairly. So how can we combat that thing? You know, education is key on everything. Educate ourselves, and work for a company that you feel comfortable with. If you're comfortable with the very straight-laced, very strict workplace as far as how you need to dress and how you need to present yourself, that's totally fine. I know when I went to In-N-Out Burger with my kids, I hadn't been there before, and I went there a couple of years ago, and they all looked like they were dressed from like the 50s, which is, I guess, the theme of the restaurant. They look like, I felt like I was watching like Happy Days or something. But if you look at what they're wearing, I mean, it's, their shirts are neatly pressed, you know, they're tucked in with a belt around it, their hair's cut exactly the same and very short, you know. So think about all those things, not just the way in which you dress, but the makeup that you use. If you're using very loud colors or colors that just don't look good. Personally, I don't think I've ever seen a girl look good with yellow eyeshadow, but that's just me. You know, overly doing things like that, sometimes people can judge you, and that can be unfortunate. So, you know, when it comes to the workplace, and especially when it comes to job interviews, that's when you tame it down. That's when you're pretty conservative. But once you get into the workplace, once you find out that culture, if the culture is, you know, a little bit more lax and things like that, if it's a culture where you can wear jeans on Friday or something like that, that's great. But if not, it's something to think about. And the other thing is don't make assumptions. Don't make assumptions about things. I can remember one time I had a supervisor who would always say, every Friday we wear jeans. And I thought, wonderful, this is awesome. I'm a jeans person anyway. But we had a conference on one Friday, and it was my first professional job. So I didn't, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I did. I felt like I just didn't know any better. And I went to the conference wearing jeans on a Friday. And I was, you know, talked to about this. And they said, okay, yes, you can wear jeans every Friday. However, on an occasion like a conference, you can't wear jeans. You have to wear slacks or a skirt. And so me, I took everything very literally, but I think sometimes, and that was a learning experience, of course, so I think sometimes it's really important to make those clarifications so that way things don't happen. Things don't kind of go the wrong way. I had another colleague who had a company t-shirt that we were all going to be wearing for this big event. And t-shirts were arriving really late. And he hadn't picked up his t-shirt. And he said, I'm going to pick up the t-shirt the morning of, because I don't have time to pick it up before. So this was kind of a... he was a little bit of a bulky guy, you know, he was always talking about his arm muscles and stuff, and this poor guy, he went to the event and said he was going to change and put the shirt on. Well, he put the shirt on and it literally looked painted on him, and of course, you know, the event's going to start like 30 minutes later or something. And all of us were like, oh my gosh, like it would have been okay if it hadn't been for the arms. And really, I mean, it was, nobody felt like it was his fault. We were all kind of like, oh man, what are you going to do? And what ended up happening is our supervisor decided to write him up because she felt that it looked inappropriate. And so that was a little battle of its own. And so all of us were kind of torn, like, had he looked, you know, had he picked up the t-shirt first, he would have realized the shirt was too small, way too snug for him. He could have gotten a different size, but due to the circumstances, he wasn't able to pick up the shirt. And, you know, all of us, you know, we all worked in teams, and we all kind of felt like that, I don't know. I think as a supervisor, I wouldn't have written him up for that. but he wasn't my employee. So that wasn't my judgment, that was somebody else's. So again, impressions. And so that's just a little learning lesson, I think, that all of us at the workplace got. Like, make sure that you are, you know, mindful about your actions and about the things that you do, because like they tell you all the time, when you're working and you have a company t-shirt, and like, let's say you decide to go to the bar afterwards, you can't be drinking. And that's what I've always been told. Like, if you're going to wear a company shirt, don't go drinking. You need to have another t-shirt. You need to change. Because if something happens, it's a reflection of that company. So if you're out drinking and you get in a fight or you do something else, you know, but you get in, I don't even want to just say a fight. Maybe you just do something else. I don't know. Go to a sporting event or something, or go do whatever, but you're still wearing that company shirt. That's still a judgment, and somebody can judge you and say, wow, I didn't know, you know, employees from this company acted this way or did things, and you just don't want that. So my advice to you is, whenever you have things that are happening right after work, always bring a change of clothing, because you don't want to put yourself in that bind, and you don't want that company to feel like they're liable for you. So anyway, those are just some ideas and thoughts I have, and it all kind of stemmed from the man with the skull tattoo. So, just on another note, I am not going to have podcasts as frequently as I wanted to. I'd been wanting to have them every week, but I have been very busy because we're having our adulting workshop coming up on November the 3rd. So we're busy working on that and trying to get it all ready for San Antonio. And if you are listening to this podcast and you want to be part of the adulting workshop and you feel like it could benefit you in some way, reach out to me and I'll send you the link. Because what we're going to do is we're going to offer all different kinds of workshops coming from an adulting perspective. So whether it's mental health, work wellness, budgeting, whether it's, you know, doing your taxes, buying your first home, leasing a car, all of these are adult decisions. And so if you're able to kind of get the inside scoop on some things, because I know all of us, at least I can admit that I have been part of that, where I've said to my friends, I wish that I had known this before I made this decision, and before I, you know, took on this job or bought this car or did something like that. I wish I had known. And sometimes we just don't know. And sometimes we just need that support and we just need that help. And that's what the adulting group is all going to be about. It's going to be about helping you. You know, what does a credit score mean, right? What does it mean if you're having some workplace conflict? What's going on with your family during the holidays? How are you handling that if you're still single, right? Or if you're not in a relationship? So we're going to talk about all kinds of things having to do with adulting and really growing up, because the adulting is not just for 18-year-olds. We're going to have, you know, 35-year-olds or older in there who are wanting to fix and improve this part of their life. So if you are not in San Antonio, and again, if you want to be part of it, we're going to be videotaping it, and we're going to have special access to it on Zoom. So it is something that anybody can be a part of and participate if you're interested. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm also going to be doing some great upcoming interviews coming up. I've just got a lot coming up, and I'm super excited about it. But I appreciate you being here. And again, if I can help in any way, please let me know. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to Career Hacks, Tips, Tricks, and Triumphs. My name is Eva Fernandez, and I wanted just to take a minute and not give you a real podcast topic, but really just kind of explain to you and tell you a little bit about my absence. I have actually taken an entire year off from the podcast. It is something I really did not want to do, but it was something that just kind of was inevitable. I was kind of going through some personal issues in my life, and it just kind of took its toll. I just wasn't something I was wanting to work on, because I really felt like I needed to give 100%, and I just didn't feel like things that were going on personally really, I'd be able to give you that 100%. So that's what happened. I took some time off personal matters, but I also started a certification for ADHD. So as you know, I'm a career coach. I'm also a social worker, but I'm also working on an ADHD certification. I'm going through my service hours, my contact hours right now, so that I'm able to offer more insight to my clients that might have ADHD. You know, people get fired for certain reasons, people leave jobs for certain reasons, and people get hired for certain reasons. And I really truly believe the more we understand ourselves, the more we understand our mental health, the more we understand how we are, how we interact with others in the workplace and out of the workplace, the more we have impact, positive impact, on the lives of people around us. So it's important to take time for yourself. It's important to really acknowledge when sometimes you need to pause things in your life. You need to give it a rest, not necessarily because you want to, but sometimes you feel like you need to. I have been really listening to that inner voice and really understanding and acknowledging that sometimes I can't do it all. Sometimes I have to let go of certain things in order to fix things and make things better for the future. I'm a mom, I'm a single parent, and my priority is my babies. They might be teenagers, but they're still my babies, and I got to do everything for them. Absolutely have to do everything for them. So that took kind of a toll on me. That was really important for me to kind of let that go for a little bit, but really want to come back triumphant and really get going. So as I've said, I've taken a year off. I appreciate the calls and the emails and the texts about when I return the podcast. And I'm sorry it's taken me so long, but that's just kind of the way it worked out. But I promise you that I've got a lot of episodes coming up. I am not going to do weekly podcasts simply because I think that I want to just do podcasts when I feel like it's really an essential topic, something that really speaks to me, I feel very strongly about. So if I'm able to do it weekly, great. If I'm not and I do it every month or every other month, great. And the reason I say that is because every day I'm learning from my clients, and every day I'm hearing about new issues and new things that are impacting their lives. So I'm really trying to learn how I can help them better, how I can help you better, and how I can be of service. On another note, as you know, I am not just a career coach, but I'm also a social worker. I have spent a good part of my career working in the nonprofit field. Nonprofit is always been my first love, so I love to help the nonprofit. About 5 or 6 years ago, I started something called Networking for Your Cause. And basically what I did with that is I would have like a lunch and learn or a dinner where it would basically have guest speakers coming and talking about nonprofits, local nonprofits, talking about their issues, talking about their needs, how we can help them, how we can give back to them. So I would have nonprofits come in and talk, and then I would also have for-profits, and they would go in and speak. And what I would ask the for-profits were for them to talk about how they give back to the community. San Antonio community is very important. This is where my children grow up. This is where I've spent half my life here. This is where there is tremendous need. There's poverty and homelessness and, you know, just so many social issues. So it's been a really important part of my life. So I have, you know, in some ways tried to give back by doing the Networking for Your Cause, which is a free event. And now, after talking with a colleague of mine, her and I decided to start a podcast on it. So it's going to be another opportunity for people to listen. And you don't have to be San Antonio. You don't have to be Bexar County. You can be anywhere in the world. And if you want to talk about your nonprofit or want to talk about how you network for your cause, how you give back, I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Because what we want to do is help make a difference, whether it's the Career Hacks, Tips, Tricks, or Triumph, or the Networking for Your Cause podcast. That is something that I feel very strongly about. I want to help you. I want to help you reach the height and the level that you would like to reach in your life. And I believe that there's some really cool platforms that we can do that. And that's what we're here for. That's exactly why I'm here for. So I will return shortly with a new podcast episode. And we'll kind of go from there. But I just wanted to kind of give everybody the heads up, explain my absence, just to let you know it's been in my heart. It's been something I've wanted to do. It's something I needed to take care of personally, but you know what? It's good, and I'm happy, and I'm excited about the future, and I'm excited about the future of these two podcasts and how I can help you get ahead in your career or get ahead in your nonprofit or get ahead in life in general. So I invite you to listen to both podcasts. I will tell you realistically, we're probably going to have episodes starting in November for both, if not sooner. So in the meantime, have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.